As you return to your seats, if you would please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last week we started in verse 1, and I read through verse 11, and we didn't finish. Got to around verse 5, and so I want to continue with that today. This last week, Ricky and I were having a conversation, and we got to talking about people in our past that really did make a difference in our life. We really just saw just a distinct difference in their life. And because of that, because of the light that they shone, then it impacted our lives as well. And he had mentioned a story about whenever he was younger, he worked in a lumber yard and just how awful of an environment that was. I mean, it was just filthy language. It was just darkness. You could just feel the darkness, he said. It was, the work ethic was horrible. It was just a really bad place and a dark place. But he said there was one person, one man that came in whenever he came to work. It just changed everything. He just brought this just bright light, and you could just tell that it was just a distinct difference in his life. And people responded to that. They respected him for that, that he was able to stand his ground, stand his faith, and shine his light to all the people around him. And just the impact that that makes and how much of a difference that makes in our lives. And so it reminded me of several men in my past that really did that for me. And I saw a distinct difference, and I thought, man, I want to be like them. I want to shine my light like they did. And it really impacted my future and the way that I turned out and the level of integrity there and just the devotion to Christ. It almost shocks you. It almost surprises you whenever you see someone that's so devoted to Christ in that way and you see that light in their life, because it's kind of rare in our day and time in the world that you go into. It's rare to see that type of a light. And whenever I say integrity, I mean that they're the same in their public life as in their private life. They're the same on Monday mornings as they are on Sunday mornings at church. I mean, that's just who they are. And it just shows out from their lives. And so whenever you think back over your life and you think of the different men and women in your life who really, that's the picture that you see. Maybe you worked with them, maybe you're on a project with them, and they just really just shown their light, then who would that be for you? You know, someone that I immediately thought of, and I know many in here would have the same thoughts that I do. Someone that comes to mind is Brother John Bayless. Brother John, if you knew Brother John, just you knew the impact that he made on people's lives. He passed away for about 18 months ago, but we're still talking about him today and the legacy that he left to so many people around him, and the impact that he made, the light that he showed. And it's just whenever you're around these people, there's a joy that comes with the light. There's a peace about them that you can't really explain, and it really does make a difference. And so the question that we ask today is, why not me? Like, why not you? What is it that would be holding us back to be that type of a person, that light in our very, very dark world? I mean, is it selfishness? Is it greed? Is it some kind of a reputation that we're trying to hold up at work or at school? I mean, what is it that's holding us back? Maybe it's a false perception of yourself. I hear so many people say, well, you know, Brother John, I mean, he's way up here. He's up here and I'm down here. And he's just kind of special, a special person. And, you know, the last time I checked, the same Holy Spirit that lives in people like that lives in me. And they have the same testimony that I do, don't they? I was dead, but now I am alive because of Jesus Christ. Same exact testimony, same power of the Holy Spirit living in me. And so what's holding us back? Why am I not that same light as those other people that made such a huge impact in my life? And so this is what he's calling us to in this passage. He's calling us to a life of consistency and integrity and devotion in our relationship with Christ. So let's look at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Again, this is in the context of his return, the return of Jesus, and what that means for us. So he says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, But let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are asleep or awake, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. And that's what I'm going to do today. And the first point he's teaching us here is this of our new nature that we have, that it's just a part of who we are now. He wants us to understand who we are as opposed to who we're not anymore. And if you notice in this passage, there's several comparisons and contrasts that he uses here. And Paul loves to use this type of language to really get his point across to us on the distinction that we should be now as a believer in Jesus Christ. This is now who we are. And he contrasts salvation with wrath, life with death, blessings and cursings, hope and no hope, day and night, darkness and light, being asleep, being awake, being drunk, being sober, being separated from God, and from being forever with the Lord. I mean, there's this huge divide, this separation that he now separates. He sets us apart as someone that's now distinct. And so an unbeliever is never a good example for us to follow because they're distinctly different than us now. It's like oil and water we talk about. We're children of the day and they are now children of the night, of the darkness. And so darkness and light do not mix. And we talk about this all the time. Brother Carlton and I have preached this many, many times. It almost gets redundant, doesn't it? But the fact is that Paul speaks about this so many times throughout his letters. And even Jesus talks about this today, that we're going to look at today. But this idea that there's no mixture in darkness and light anymore for us, they were distinctly different. John uses this distinction of light and darkness more than any other person in the Bible. And in John chapter 8, if you want to turn there, you can go ahead. I want to look at this little passage here in John chapter 8, just so you can get the context if you want to. But here we come, and we're right in the middle of a great celebration taking place, the Feast of the Tabernacle. And so it had been taking place for 7 straight days. This is a big time celebration in the life of the Jews. Every single year they would celebrate this. And so Jesus is there in Jerusalem with his disciples, and he goes at night and he stands in the court of the women at the temple. And it's the court of the women because that's as far into the temple that the women could go into. And so in this huge court, there's a lot of celebration going on at this final part of this festival that they're having. And so Jesus is there and he's teaching, and in the background, you have this, what I've read is a gigantic 30-foot candelabra, okay, that they put up into this courtyard here. And it has 16 huge bowls filled with pure olive oil. And what the priests would do, they would use their priestly garments, and they would place them in the bowls, and they would use their priestly garments as the wicks for this candelabra there. And so they set it on fire, and it's so bright, this huge fire is just going up in the sky. It's so bright that they say that it illuminated all the courtyards and all the households and all of Jerusalem. I mean, that's how bright this huge light is. And so here we come in this story in John chapter 8. In verse 12, we find Jesus is here. He's sitting in the courtyard. He's teaching his people. All of a sudden, it's almost like he points over to this gigantic candelabra there, and he makes this declaration. He says, "I am the light of the world." It was one of those great "I am" statements. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so this declaration stuns everyone that hears it. I mean, this is, you just can't imagine how serious of a statement that really is that he just spoke then. Everyone remembers how God revealed himself as light in the Old Testament. With the light of fire, he cut a covenant between him and Abraham, God and Abraham, and he created the nation of Israel basically because of that covenant. And through the light of fire, the pillar of light coming down to lead the Israelites out of bondage and into the promised land. Moses met God at a bush of light, and he spoke through the tongues of fire right there to him. Moses came down the mountain and had his face illuminated. It was so much radiance of meeting with God that he had to hide his face. And God responded to both the building of the tabernacle and the temple by sending down his Shekinah glory, this big light that illuminated the entire land. And so a lampstand was placed in the Holy of Holies, and it was as a source of light to explain to them that this represents the presence of God. Light represents the presence of God. And so now we have Jesus, he's standing up. He basically says, I am the fulfillment of all of that right there in the Old Testament. And he is the very presence of God that came down into this very dark world. But it not only says that, it's not only about his presence here, but he also goes on to say, okay, I'm here, and now you are to walk in the light as I am the light. See, darkness is never seen as a good thing in the Bible. In fact, whenever God created the world, one of the first things that he did was he looked over the earth and he saw that there was nothing but darkness. And what did he say? He said that darkness is not good. He called it not good, as opposed to everything that he created and the light that he brought then in that moment. You see, with darkness comes confusion and chaos, right? It's hard for us to thrive in the darkness. You can't, really. All of us have walked in our house at nighttime. Maybe you get up in the middle of the night, you have to go to the bathroom or something, and you think, I've lived in this house for years, dozens of years maybe. Surely I can make it from my bed to the bathroom and be okay. But we always get tripped up, don't we? I do. You hit your shin on a drawer that should be closed, or you step on a toy or something, and you always get tripped up because it's chaos in the dark. I mean, you get tripped up in the dark. The darkness stops you in your tracks. You can't live, you can't thrive in the darkness. And this is what he's trying to share with us in this passage. You can't do it. And darkness is also, it's not something that's produced. You don't have a generator that's producing darkness out there. It's simply the absence of the light. And so if you have darkness in your life, that means that there is an absence of light in your life. And that's why John 1:5 says, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. It is completely absent from him. And so whenever Jesus is saying that he is the light of the world, he's saying, I'm the complete opposite of evil. There is no evil within me. There's no chaos within me. There's no confusion within me. Everything that you can associate with darkness, that is not of God. And so the light is good. The light is life. And he says very clearly, whoever wants to follow me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life, because this is now our new nature. This is now who we are. We are people of the light. And so the penetrating, whenever we become a believer of Jesus Christ, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And that penetrating light of having the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling within us, he shines his light in every area of our life, every nook and cranny you can think of, the light of the Holy Spirit comes in and he illuminates every area of our life. And he's doing that for several reasons. For one reason is he wants to expose what's going on in your life, that darkness that's in there. He wants to get that stuff out of your life. And so he comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and first thing he's going to do is he's going to start shining on some of those dark areas in your life, because they don't mix, they don't come together. And you cannot live both in the darkness and in the light. And he knows that more than anyone. And so this is our new nature. He looks at the innermost parts of who we are. And one thing we all have in common is that anytime someone or something points out some kind of darkness in their lives, some kind of area of darkness, we all react the same way, don't we? I mean, if you're a kid and you remember being a kid, And you're living with your parents, then you've experienced this. When we know our parents are right, we know that what the advice they're giving us, or they're exposing some kind of a dark area in our life, whether it's selfishness, whether it's our attitude or some kind of pattern in our life that we've gotten in ourselves, and our parents point that out in our lives, what do? We retreat. We don't like that. We pull back from that. It hurts almost to get exposed by some light of truth in our life. We don't like it. We would much rather be more comfortable in the dark, in our darkness. We don't like for people to expose that. And it's the same way with God. Whenever He shines His light into the dark little areas of our life, and He will, because of our relationship with Him, we do the same thing with Him. The darkness is revealed. He exposes those little areas that we don't like, or those little dark areas that get in our way from our relationship with Him. And He says, nope, can't do it. You got to get that out. Nope, I'm going to expose that area. You got to get that out. We cannot live in the same world as both dark and light. It won't happen. And so what do? We get irritated by this. We retreat. We withdraw from Him. And we'd much rather go live and sit in our little dark corner than experience the light of truth that He wants to bring into our life. John wrote this, and he explained this very well in chapter 3, verse 19. Awesome verse here. He says, this is the verdict. Basically, he's saying, this is the summation of I've evaluated everything. I've looked at everything all over. And this is what the conclusion that I'm coming up with right here. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. They fear that. But whoever lives by the truth, they come into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So the message paraphrases it this way. I like this. He says in verse 20, he says, everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, they hate God's light and won't come near it because they fear a painful exposure. And we all do. That's just a part of being a human being. We all hate it whenever someone shines a light into the dark areas of our life, exposing what is really there. We don't like it. But here's the thing. Just as God said from the very beginning of time, let there be light. Why? Because the darkness was not good. And He knew that. Let there be light. And just as He said, let there be light by Him bringing Jesus Christ to this earth, He said, let there be light. Because He knew that the darkness was not good. He looks in your life today, in your story today, wherever you're at, and He's going to say, let there be light. Always. He's going to do it. Because like I said, darkness and light do not mix. And He knows that darkness is not good. And so He always does this. So this is the incredible blessing that we have of walking in the light. We have His exposure of those dark areas, but also we have the freedom that comes from that. And He shows us not only who we are, but how are we to do this? How are we to live in the light? He gives us something right here. In verse 8 of chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians, in our passage, he says, but since we belong to the day, okay, we know we're children of the light. We know that's who we are now. And we know, he says, let us be sober first. So we have control over this. We don't have to live as drunk people who basically have no control in their life, right? No, we have control. And so he says, so this is what you do. You put on faith and love as a breastplate, and you put on the hope of salvation as a helmet. He gives us those things. He says, this is going to keep you in the light. I'm telling you, this is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. He gives you these guards to put on. It'll guard your heart and your mind, vital, vital areas in your life. And so if we can get our heart and mind protected from that, if we can guard our hearts and minds, then I mean we're going to be good walking in the light. That's what he says here. You remember whenever Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And so if we can get our hearts in the right place, protect our hearts and get those in the right place, then following Jesus Christ, then our treasure is going to be right also. And it's going to be treasure that's going to last forever. It's going to be these fruits that are going to come out of walking in the light. But the challenge is that we have so many people who say they're living in the light. Oh, yes, I'm living in the light. But their heart is somewhere else. Their heart's not there. And so because their heart's not there, he says, their treasure is not there. And because their treasure's not there, he says, you're already losing the battle. Your heart's exposed to the enemy, and he's going to do his work. You see, the battle is also not only for the heart, but he says it's for the mind. You think there's a battle for the mind going on right now in our world? Man, it's everywhere. It's not a battle, it's a war going on, especially in the hearts of our children and the minds of our children. I just cannot imagine. You know, it was bad whenever I was a kid going through school, and you get just, I mean, pounded and pounded all day long with all this false lies and all these things around you. But today, I'm sure it's just exponentially even worse, because Satan knows. You know, it's kind of like if you're in a competition with someone, and if you can get in that person's mind, whoever you're competing against, if you can somehow distract them, if you can somehow mess with their minds in some way, if you can get into their mind, then more than likely you can beat them. And Satan knows this. This is his strategy. This is what he does with believers. He tries to get into their minds that are unguarded. He tries to get into our minds, and he tries to mess things up and distract us and deviate us from the light and from what God wants for us. And so he's getting into our device. He's using our devices, our televisions and our entertainment, and gaining access to our minds. And before we know it, we're thinking like the rest of the world is. And we've allowed him to get in and mess with our thoughts. So parents, this is where we come in. Are you guarding the hearts and your minds of your kids? Because we need to do that. He has called us to do that in our children's lives. He's given us our kids over for a reason, that they are to be set apart, and we are to guard the hearts and the minds to be that light. So we're leaving a legacy of light and how to live for them. And we guard their hearts and their minds. So whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. And so this armor of God, it protects us. It keeps us walking in the light. So we have the who we are, and then we have what we're supposed to do. Now let's bring all this together. We have a new nature. We know that. We are children of the day. We live in the light. That's who we are now. And in this light, there's hope, there's peace, there's security, along with all the other fruits of the Spirit. And so if you're a believer today, and that's who you want to be, you want to continuously live your life, and you want to make an impact, and you want to leave a legacy to follow, and people can look back at your life and say, my goodness, what a light that they were into our world. How wonderful was their relationship with God. I want to be like that. If that's the life that you want to live, that you're leaving a legacy for all these kids and all these next generations to follow, there's some things that we need to do first. First, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to illuminate some of those dark areas in our life, because they cannot coexist. And so we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and he starts shining in all the nooks and crannies and every little hidden space. I mean, things come out, and he's going to expose those things every single day of your life, because that's not good. That's not good. And he says, I'm going to shine my light where there is none. And he exposes those dark areas. Whatever it is, his Spirit has the power to change us. And I've seen it over and over and over. You see, people have a lot of darkness in their life. But whenever God shines his light right through their hearts, man, it changes everything for them. It changes their lives. And secondly, you have to put on his armor. You have to guard your heart and your head. What are those weak spots? You know, we all have them, those weak spots that Satan just seems to slip his foot right in that door. What are those weak spots in your life, in your heart? Are you guarding those areas? Are you putting up those walls to guard? No, you're not getting through here anymore in my life. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the armor that he's given me, no more. You don't have the victory over my life in that area because I'm guarding that. So we guard our hearts and minds with the armor of God. This is now who we are, and this is what now what we are to do. And he closes this section out by explaining to us not only our nature, not only who we are, but also our destiny. And in verse 9, it says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that we may live together with him." Remember, all of this is in the context of Jesus' return and his resurrection that he talks about. And so he sets us apart. We are different again. He sets us apart in another way. They don't have the same hope that we do. We have a hope of eternal life that has been given to us. And that life is the light of man. That's Jesus Christ that has come into us. And it changes everything for us. So first it says here, it says, we are not destined for wrath. And that's an amazing thought. That's an amazing statement right there if you think about it. I mean, do you realize that you have to account for your sins at some point in the future? That we're all going to face the judgment seat of Christ. And all of us are going to have to account for our sins and what we've done. And that's just the fact of the matter. That's how it is. We sinned against God, so we pay an account for that. That's just how all of this works. That's how he created our world and the relationship that we have with him. But everybody who is in Jesus Christ, who is living in the light, who knows Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, when we're about to answer for our sins and we're about to count our sins, no, Jesus Christ steps in. He says, I paid that. I paid that amount for him. I paid the price that they could not pay. And that is the great hope that we have, that we will not experience the wrath of God anymore, because the wrath of God has been appeased through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we can walk in that hope, and that is the great light that we have. And so John tells us this is an abiding in Christ. It's not only a future hope that we have. We're not only going to be with him in the future whenever he returns and all that, but we're abiding with him right now, in a relationship with him right now. And because of that, because we're abiding with him in the vine, then we can produce fruits in our life because of this relationship. It's not only the presence of God with us, but man, that presence produces all these fruits that everyone can see. My goodness, they are a believer in Jesus Christ. And that light comes in and it shines out. And so if you're living and you're abiding in the light, what's going to happen is you're going to plant seeds of light in your life. Those seeds are going to produce fruit. They're going to go in fruits of blessing. And some of you are living right now. You're living in the blessings of the seeds that were planted maybe many years ago, maybe with your parents or grandparents. And part of your testimony is they were planting some really good seed in your life, and you're living in the fruits of all that good seed in your life. And you see it and you know it. And maybe some good things that happened 20 years ago in your life, those things, that decision that you made for Christ, you started planting those seeds. But you know what also? There's also seeds that we plant of darkness in our life. Those seeds that come in, and I mean, all of us are planting seeds every single day of our life. It is, are we planting seeds of light or seeds of darkness? If you're living in the darkness, then you're planting seeds of darkness, and you can't expect to get fruit of light, even though we do. Expect that. No, your inconsistencies and your lack of devotion to Christ will only produce death and destruction. And again, there are some people in here, you're right now, you're reaping the destruction of the seeds that were planted or you planted in your past. And you know it too. And you're in that cycle of destruction and death and darkness in your life. And you know it. But the awesome part of the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the fact that today is different, that today God wants you to know that he can redeem your past, and he can, all those seeds of destruction, he can forgive you of those things. He can throw them away, and he can start planting those seeds of light again, because your future is going to be determined by the seeds that you're planting today. Are they seeds of light? Are they seeds of darkness? See, this is the whole plan and how God's working things out in your life today and what he wants to do. And so this is kind of all summing it all up, that we are children of the light We live in the light. He's provided us the armor of God to protect us and help us walk in that light. And we live in the hope of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we abide in Him. So as the musicians come forward, we have to close. But I want you to ask yourself the question, who am I? First, get that straight. Who am I? If you're a believer, then you are a child of the light. God wants to shine His light through every single area, every nook and cranny of your life. And that's what He's doing today. He's working in your heart. He's exposing some of those dark areas that you're trying to keep hidden because you're comfortable in those areas. No, He says, let there be light. No more darkness at all. And so the question is, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to change you from the inside out, to make you a new person? It's going to hurt, and it does. But my goodness, the freedom and the blessing it is to live in the light and the truth of God's Word and the forgiveness and the grace that He pours out on us every single day. Living in the light. And if you're not a believer, and you're still under God's wrath, you're still under that wrath, under those sins, the wages of sin is death. That we have, because of our sin, nothing that He's done, because of our sin, we've separated ourselves from God. Huge chasm that we could never fill. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He bridged that gap so that I can live. And one day, He's going to say, no, I took His place. I appeased the wrath of God for them. I took it on myself. And that's what He did for you. And if you're not a believer, He says, today is the day of salvation because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not. And so you need to come and you need to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. And I hope that you'll do that today. But what in the world is holding you back? Do you want to be that person that leaves that legacy for all these generations to be able to look back and say, my goodness, the light that they shone out in my life, it impacted me in such a major way. Whatever it is, it's not worth it in your life right now. And He wants to come in and He wants to change you and He wants to make you new. Make you a new person today. And so whatever God's calling you to do today, if you join our church, come and receive Christ, come in to the altar and just really get your life back and allow Him to expose those dark areas in your life, I pray that you would do it today. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You so much for Your truth. Goodness, it amazes me every single time that I open it that You expose all these little areas in my life. You've done it so many times. Those little dark areas that I hold on to, and just the hope that comes whenever You do that, because I know that You've forgiven me in spite of everything that I've done for You, to You. You've forgiven me. Father, I pray that every person in here would experience that same forgiveness, that same hope, so that we can leave here and we can start planting those good seeds in our life. So You change hearts, dear Father. I give this time to You. This is Your time to work in the lives of Your people. And I pray that You would do that. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.